Hello, 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 and welcome back to Women with Purpose Podcast. I am your host slash co-founder, Tanisha Pagans, because God is the founder. To everyone who has been following me throughout this journey, this process, this season, because we are on season 3, thank you so much for your love, for your support, for your prayers. It means so much to me, and to all the newcomers, welcome to the family. We are on YouTube as well as Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and many other podcast platforms. So you could just look us up, Women with Purpose, with Tanisha Pagans. So thank you guys so much for following me. It means everything to me. Like I said, this season is season 3, entitled I Got Too Much to Say. Basically, just giving my testimony, things that I've been through, my truth. Not cutting any corners. You guys know I'm real raw and uncut. I am one of, not the only, but one of the most transparent ministers. I don't like putting titles on it because a title really don't define me doing the work of the Lord. But if I had to put a title on it, one of the most realest, transparent ministers that you will meet, because I believe that is how you really, you know, get down to the work and helping people and saving people. Of course, you know, you read your word and you pray for them and read with them and teach them and all of that. But them being able to relate to you, them being able to see God's glory in your story. And I'm a firm believer that in order for them to see, you know, God's glory in your story, you have to reveal it. So I don't have a problem with exposing my life. I mean, I'm here for a reason. I went through it for a reason. And if I can use what I've been through to help save someone else, then so be it. So we're going to jump right into prayer. But I do want to say last episode, we did talk about occultism. We will continue to talk about that. Part 2 and 3 is coming up extremely soon. And both of those episodes will be dropped like together. It won't be one week and one another week. They will be dropped together. So stay tuned for that. Because like I said, guys, because anyone who's, you know, been down the deliverance road and fighting generational, breaking generational curses and fighting all these demonic spirits and stuff, you know exactly what it is. You know exactly what it entails, and the deliverance process is just crazy. So the rest of the season, I won't be announcing when the episodes will come out. They would just drop, and we only have a couple more before we get to the season finale, Part 2 of the release, which is the release of me. So I will finish part 2 and 3 of the occultism with Prophetess Michelle Harris. So definitely stay, be on the lookout for that. And tonight, well, it's nighttime because of the time that I'm recording, it will be part 1 of the release, which will be releasing my parents. And I'll go into detail about that in a minute. So Father God, thank you so much, God, for allowing us all to see another day, God, that none of us was promised to see. Father God, I pray right now that you would strengthen your woman servant, God. God, you lead the way, God. You got me, God. You give me the words to say, because Father God, I don't want my flesh to move in any way whatsoever. And Lord, I pray that my testimony, God, and my truth, God, and the words that I will have to say at the end, God, will touch your people, God, that healing would take place, God, that deliverance would even take place, God. God, that you would give a word to who it is that needs to hear this episode on tonight. God, I come up against any retaliation demons right now in the mighty name of Jesus. God, I pray a special hedge of protection around me, around my children, around everyone that's connected to me, and around each and every person, God, that's tuned in on tonight. God, protect us all, God, from danger seen and unseen in the name of Jesus, against every word curse, against every attack, against occultism, against witchcraft, against anything, God, that may be hindering us, anything, God, that's within us and our bloodline and surrounding us. So, Lord, I pray that you will have your way, that you will move by your spirit, and God, allow your spirit to flow, God, allow the atmosphere, God, to be conducive for you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this is hard for me, guys. Let me just start off with that. So, if it's moments when I kind of get quiet, we're still on. I'll let you know when we get off. Or I'm just going to be real, like, you know, and raw. So the tears flow. At first I was like, no, I can't do that. But if they flow, they flow. Because this is the real, this is what people are really dealing with. And I no longer want to suppress how I feel, you know, like you're as sick as your secrets, and I don't really want to be sick. So hence why God healed me of lupus, of fibromyalgia, and endometriosis. So yeah, I don't want to suppress. I've learned my entire life how to hide my true feelings. I've learned my entire life how to mask it, how to bury my pain, and then I deal with it later behind closed doors. I learned how to put aside how I feel, just to feel accepted, just to feel loved, just to feel part of a family, putting on a facade like I'm okay when I'm not, pretending to be something that I'm not, or doing things just to be noticed or looking for validation, even from my parents. And this is in no way, shape, form, or fashion trying to bash them. I don't blame them at all. I understand, you know, they were children having children. So I don't, you know, like, there is no more unforgiveness there, because let's just be honest, I definitely was harboring unforgiveness in my heart, because I just felt like, you know, they're my parents. If you can't trust, if you can't lean, if you can't depend on anybody else in this world, you know, then your parents should be the one. But the Bible also says, put your trust in no man. And he didn't say excluding your parents. So, you know, I understand. It is what it is. So, yeah, this has been hard. This has been extremely hard, especially because one of my parents, I, at one point in time, was more so closer to. So one thing about even breaking generational curses in itself, but God is going to reveal whether you're breaking generational curses or not. But this is the season that I'm in, and I've been in with breaking the generational curses. It's just this season, God is really like, okay, you're breaking, you're going to talk about it, and this is what it is. But I'm not talking about every single generational curse that I have broken that was in my bloodline, things that even I opened the door up to that had I not broke, you know, where some things automatically passed to my children anyway through the umbilical cord once I conceive. But a lot of things as well that I've given access to even in my adult years, had I not broke that, then my children would have to deal with that. And that's not happening. I will put myself on the battlefield before I allow them to go out there, especially to fight a battle that technically wasn't even theirs. It was just given to them by default. I'm not doing that. So in that, you know, God has revealed a lot. And the main two for me was occult and witchcraft, because occult ran in my bloodline, Freemason and Delta. And like I said, just tune into part 2 and 3. And there's also going to be a teaching that will be coming out soon as well, following part 2 and 3. But the teaching won't be an actual podcast. It will be a teaching that I would give you guys details later. But as far as the occult goes, it's a huge umbrella, actually. But I'm only specifying Freemason and Delta, because I had someone to even comment, because they were just inquiring. So I'm only talking about that in this particular season, because that's what I battle with in my bloodline. That does not exclude all fraternities, all sororities, and stuff like that, and Jehovah's Witness and all of that. This is just basically talking about what I deal with. So it made it even harder, because you have to close the door to that. And even with deliverance and with me being so closely affected, in order for that curse to completely be broken off of me, I had to shut it all down. And that was hard, because you're talking about your parents. And like I said, I mean, the reality of it is, I was closer to one of them more so the other. So in this process, it hurt me in different ways. You know, what daughter wouldn't want her father? What daughter wouldn't want her mother? Because you, as a child, whether you're a male or a female, you need both of your parents for different reasons and different things. So I needed both of them for different state, even in different stages in my life. And just because you turn 18 or 21 or whatever, that does not mean that you don't need your parent any less. Now, financially, you may or may not. Everybody's story is different. But that's when you know, like, for me, in my eyes, you need them all the more, because life is really, really hitting. You're getting older. You know, things are starting to happen, you know, all the more. So you don't ever not need your parents. So I don't know if they forgot that part. I don't know if anybody told them that part. But it is what it is when it comes to that. But this has been hard. So, you know, you guys, like I said before, the episodes weren't coming out consistently or regularly because God helped me to pace myself in this season because of what I was dealing with, what I was up against, what I was healing from. And this season he had me, the healing came in the release. Where in other seasons, and not even outside of podcasts, because I'm still going through healing and deliverance and ministry and everything else, even outside of podcasts, my podcast isn't being aired. But this particular season of podcast, the healing is coming from the release. So when I'm giving it to y'all, I'm going through it. And it is difficult. And even in the midst of that, I still have to be a parent while dealing with my parents. That is hard. That is extremely hard. And I've been through a lot, like a lot in my life. So, but the worst pain of it all is dealing with and not dealing with my parents. One is just more easier because I know that they mean well in their heart. It just, I don't know. I can't say how they feel. I just know from me, from what I see and what I feel, that one, don't intentionally mean well. They give what they can, what they have. One, do intentionally seek to hurt and everything else. Me project their pain. Like, I don't know what it is, and I've been trying to figure it out, and I kind of got no answer. So I said, you know what, God? This is for you, and I'm just being honest because it's a lot of me's out there. It's a lot of women who have issues with the mother. It's a lot of women who have issues with the father, and we were brought up that, you know, what goes on in my house, stay in my house. How is that helping me? Because I'm in the house with you. You're not helping me. Even if I, you know, you live with one parent and not the other, that one other parent ain't but so much better either, but that's not helping. And if we had other people that was just like before us, that was real, that was actually living their truth, then they could be able to help us through what we're going through. So if I'm going to be that mentor to someone else, then I have to be honest with myself and I have to be honest with the people and my assignments, because someone somewhere or multiple people somewhere, they need this. So everyone may not agree with what I'm doing and how I'm doing it. One, if you don't like it, take it up with God, because trust me when I tell you, anybody who know me know, this has been hard for me. I can't tell you how many nights I've cried, how many days I've cried. Like, it's been extremely hard. I have been extremely vulnerable in this season. I have been extremely naked, just expressing how I feel, just saying, hey, I'm having a hard time with this. I don't know. Even at one point, I wanted to throw the towel in. Like, I texted my pastor and I was like, look, I can't do this no more. Like, but then I had to think about my kids, you know, and of course she, you know, encouraged me and everything else like she always does. And I'm like, you know what, Tanisha, you came this far. You definitely can't turn back, and you can't stay where you are either. So the only choice I have is to move forward. So if you don't like it, you can always not listen to it. I mean, I'm not trying to be like that rude, because I'm not a rude person like that, but I'm just being real because it's not going to stop me from doing what it is that God has called me to do. The only person that's going to stop me will be God. And considering the fact that he was the one who instructed me, I'm not stopping. So I have to push through the pain. I have to push through the hurt. I have to push through the tears and everything else to do what I've been called to do, because this is not just about me at all. And ministry starts at home. So when it hit me, it hits my house. And from my house, then out, you know, to others. So I don't in no type of way, shape, form, or fashion even want my children to feel this way. Like my son, he's a little younger. You know, he has a relationship with his father. He's actually currently with his father. He obviously have a relationship with me. My son is definitely a mama's boy, but a mama's boy who's still a mini man because he's only 11. But his mindset is that of a young man. So he's a mama's boy, but he put me in check sometime. Like, Mom, I'm a man. Like, and I'm like, boy, sit down. But at the same time, I'm very, very proud. And I do commend my ex-husband for, you know, stepping up and doing what needed to be done for our son. But I have teenage daughters and I was once them. So I could see some of the pain in their eyes and even their heart. And it just pierces me. So I'm like, you know what, Tanisha, you got to do this. Like, pull it together and just it's just me and God. Like, literally, my prayers in this season have been mostly tears on the ground, tears in my bed, tears on my steering wheel, tears on at work, like just tears, just crying out to God. And those that are closest to me, they know, like they know. So this is to my parents now. For those who know me know I love poetry. I love to write poetry. That's one of the ways that I express myself. So I did write a poem to my parents. Now before anybody be like, oh my gosh, why did she do that? Why didn't she just tell them? First of all, mind your business. Secondly, they definitely know it was only right. And I was instructed to send it to them first. Like, I was like, okay, God, cool. Because I'm like, wait, you want me to, you sure? Because I don't want to do that. I don't even want to have this conversation with them anymore because I've tried. And I'm just the type of person after a while, no, because I just don't have time to keep talking. Like, I have children. I have three children. I have three godchildren. I have multiple nieces and nephews. So if I want to keep talking, especially I have two teenagers, I could just pick one. But I'm like, okay, you know what? God, you deal with people in your timing, in their season. So just because my season is my season doesn't mean it's their season. So, you know, it is what it is. But I did write something for them. But they have got their copy for all the naysayers and, you know, spectators that, and, you know, monitoring spirits is going to go back and report. They have been made aware, because just like my kids, before anything comes out on podcasts, my children know first if it's something that I feel is going to catch them off guard, that may hurt them or anything like that. They're going to know before anybody else know. So the same. So I said, okay, God, that is the right thing to do. So now that they know what you guys are about to know, I can continue to go forth. So to my father, I love you so much. You mean everything to me. I definitely could not have imagined life without you. You couldn't pay me to tell me that this is where we currently are. And it's not like we were on bad terms, but we weren't on the terms that we should be as father and daughter. And I mean, you kind of know. It's not a surprise, not a secret. We've had conversations, so. But I do. I really love you, and I thank you so much for being a part of my life. I thank you so much that in those times that I could call you, and I called, you know, you were there. You know, me and the kids came and stayed with you for a while. And I definitely appreciate you for that. When I went through that situation with you know who, you know, you showed up for me and the kids immediately with no hesitation. And that meant everything to me. Because in that moment, I felt safe. Like, that's the safest I ever felt in my entire life in that moment. Like, you just showed up. And in a time where I was vulnerable, I was naked, I felt empty, I felt not me, like I was completely checked out. So that was not a state I would want you to see me in. But at the same time, I felt like I could be what I needed to be, and you had me, like you had me and the kids. So thank you for that. It is my prayer that reconciliation with the relationship would take place, because just because reconciliation takes place, it doesn't always mean the repair of a relationship. In this case, it is my prayer that God repairs our relationship. But I cannot connect myself with the occult. I just can't. And everything that is linked to. And I pray that you will tune into the podcast and you will hear, you know, all about it. Because I don't want you connected to that, knowing what I know at all. I can't. I wouldn't know what to do if whatever. But it is my prayer that, you know, we will reconcile back together. I truly love you. Call me, text me, doesn't matter, anytime. But it's just certain things I no longer can connect myself to. That does not mean my love for you will change, because it will not change at all. I just have to do what's best for me and my children, your grandchildren. And if, especially when our life depend on it, because spiritually this is serious, and I just can't. I'm sorry, I can't. I love me more and I love my children way more than to be connected when I don't even want to be. Like, I don't have a choice. Like, I didn't decide this. So I'm not going to have someone to decide it for me, regardless of who they are. So I love you, Dad. Like I said, I do pray that our relationship will be reconciled. I pray that it will be restored. To my mom. I don't even know what to say, to be honest. I love you. I wish you well. It is my prayer that you will seek God wholeheartedly, that you will surrender all, that healing and deliverance and reconciliation will take place in your life. I wish we would have had a mother-daughter relationship. You know, God can do anything, and God is not a God who is on time. Man is on time, but God doesn't look at time. 1,000 days to us is just 1 day to him. So, but I'm tired, Mom. I'm tired. I cannot do this no more. This is on another level of toxic, of mental, emotional, and not to mention spiritual abuse. I can't. And it's been a pattern with all of your children. I'm just the one who will, the main one who will speak out, because one of the others, she definitely will speak out. But I mean, it is my prayer that reconciliation will take place. But I'm finally at a point where I forgive you and my father, but if it don't happen, I love you. I can't lie because I'm on a platform. I can't lie because people are listening. I can't. I honestly wish things would be different, especially with the kids, more so the girls being involved and the relationship that I know they would want to have with their grandmother, but it's the same. I have to do what's best. It's the same with the occult that's in the bloodline, because you know what you're connected to. With the witchcraft that is directly and indirectly connected to me. With the word curses. With the things you say and do. And no, that's not how a mother treats her daughter. And I've tried, and you know I've tried, over and over and over again. And when things don't go the way you want them to go, you do what you do. So I love you. I really, really do. I really do. Whether you believe me or not, because if I didn't love you, I wouldn't say it. But I choose me. I choose that little girl inside. In this process, I've been feeling like a little girl. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm 36 years old. I don't even feel like an adult. And I don't feel like an adult because it's still that little girl that I have to release. And it's my responsibility to release her. And the only person who can do that is God first and me allowing God to lead the way and guide me. I have stepped over and jumped over many hurdles and took 15 step backs and stepped on some things that just crushed my whole soul completely. But I choose me. So it's time for me to be an adult. And in order for me to be an adult, I have to release this little girl. So it's time for her to be free. So mom and dad, I love you guys, but I cannot be attached to occultism and witchcraft any longer. And I do pray that God will reconcile us back together. But the one thing for me for sure is that occult gotta go. It has to go. Because that's just like having a soul tie. You go through healing and deliverance, you break that soul tie. But if you're still connected to that person and still given access, the soul tie ain't is pretty much null and void. It's not broken because you're still given access. You're still feeding that spirit. So it's the same thing. I'm still given access. I'm in agreement with what y'all do. And hey, you can choose to do whatever it is that you like to do, just like me. And I may not agree with what y'all do. Y'all may not agree with what I do. But when it comes to serving God, oh, I'm following with him all the way. I don't care who it is and what it is. And anything that goes against my Lord and Savior and serving false gods and connected to this stuff, I choose God all day, every day. So it doesn't matter to me who I have to cut off. That doesn't mean that the process will be easy. And it does not mean that it won't hurt, because it does. But you can't serve two masters. You just can't. And I'm not going to serve two masters. I'm serving one. And with that being said, this is why the release have to take place. I pray that this is a temporary release and we will reconcile. But regardless, in order to release that little girl inside of me, I have to release. I have to release y'all. I do. And it hurts. It really, oh my gosh, this hurts. I would never think I would be in this situation. We've been through some ups and some downs and some roller coasters and stuff like that. But for me to close the chapter to my parents, that's hard, especially for one of you. You know which one it is. Oh my gosh, that's so hard. Like, I could not imagine not having a relationship with my kids. I mean, they get on my nerves sometimes. That's any parent. We all been there. We know. Our kids rack our last nerve and dance on an ounce of the nerve that we got left. But it's nothing that I won't do to them. And if I know that I'm doing or saying or contributed to any type of pain in their life, I'm making it right. And I know that that process won't be easy, but it sure as heck is worth it. It's worth facing the truth. It's worth facing their truth. It's worth facing their pain, because that's not fair to them on any type of pain that I cause them. Even if I didn't intentionally mean it, that should make the process even easier. Like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that I made you feel this way. I'm sorry. But mean it. What do I have to do to make this right? And for me, the first thing is renouncing. Seeking God and renouncing, because he's going to tell you to do it anyway. But it's nothing that I won't do for my children. So I'm sorry, I can't understand I don't even know how y'all feel. I don't even know what y'all are thinking. Like, I don't know. But for me, Caleb is just with his dad for the summer. Well, initially for the summer, he wanted to spend a little bit more time with him. And that crushed me because I'm having separation anxiety. But I still know that he needs his father too. So that's just what happens when you have to co-parent. But I just can't. So I love you guys. I do. And I pray that things would definitely change. But for now, it's time for the release. So, to my father. And it's entitled Daddy's Girl. And like I said, this isn't just for me, but it's so many me's out there that this is going to touch. And fathers, please listen. If you have to this, if you have any unresolved issues with your daughter or even your son, make it right. Seriously, make it right. They need you. I don't care if they're 88. If you know you haven't been there or whatever, just make it right. The same with mothers. Just make it right. Your children may not express how they feel, but they're hurting and they're masking, or they become numb. And that's what I did. I had became numb for so long. So now that I'm really able to feel, I'm 36 years old. And now I'm really feeling, because I'm no longer suppressing. I'm no longer allowing myself to feel numb to protect my heart. I'm feeling because I want this stuff done. I don't want to be toxic to my children. And I don't want to look for my husband to be my father. We ain't doing that. So this is entitled Daddy's Little Girl. And like I said, bear with me, guys, because it took me about a month to finish this because it hurt so bad. I had to put it down for a bit because it was just kind of like taking me to another level. So I had to put it down. So God was like, you got to finish that. And he actually used my daughter friend to pretty much give me the word. And I knew because she didn't know the who, the what, when, where, and why. She just knew it was something that I started. So I knew God was using her to speak for me to finish it. So thanks, Kenley. I love you. Daddy's little girl. Was it the twinkle in her eyes or the dimples in her smile? Was it the love that you felt after holding her for a while? Was it the look she gave you after mom gave birth? Was it the way you felt knowing how much she's worth? Was looking at her like looking in a mirror? Was looking at her making life a little more clearer? Was it fear of thinking you wouldn't be a good dad? Or was it facing the consequences and thinking it just turned out bad? Did you feel your life was over and you could no longer have fun? Did you have the feeling that you should just take off and run? Was it because you and her mom could never be on one accord? Was it because you knew a child you just couldn't afford? Did you ever stop and think how much she needed you? Did you ever wonder, maybe I need her too? No matter what it was, something made you turn away. Something or someone couldn't consistently make you stay. Her heart's desire was to be daddy's little girl, to keep her protected from everything in this cold world. See, you don't understand that she had to endure so much pain. Her heartache and sadness is equivalent to the rain. How, you wonder, I'm glad you asked. All the hurt and pain she felt, she had to mask. But when the doors are closed and no one is around, many screams and tears in her pillow, I'm surprised she didn't drown. She was so scared and had to go through a lot of it alone. You weren't there and felt she didn't need you because you were grown. She was grown. A daughter will always need her dad, no matter the age. Just the fact of you not being there turned her fear into rage. More than half of her life, she lived in this fantasy world, just dreaming and visioning of being daddy's little girl. See, in her heart, you are her best friend, someone to stand with and beside her to the very end. Someone to give her away on that special day. When the preacher says, who give this woman away? I do, you would say. She's forced to make decisions that causes her heart to break, but the inconsistency in her life she can no longer take. You gamble her heart like it was a game, but her love for you always remained the same. How much longer is it going to take for you to come around to love and to hold her so her tears will no longer hit the ground? Time is of the essence, and it isn't fair for her to wait for you. She didn't ask to be here, but your actions caused her to. Time is winding up, and the decision is near, one that brings her so much fear. Fear of losing you once and for all. To protect her heart and peace, she had to put up a wall. A wall to close off all access to strangers. The one to cause her heart to not feel danger. But it's okay, Daddy. I truly do forgive you. But it's time now. In my heart, I have to release you. Oh, sorry, guys. I'm sorry. But always remember, Daddy, I'm only a call away. In my heart, my love for you will always stay. My heart's desire is to be Daddy's little girl. No matter how old I get, I will always need you in this cold, cold world. I will always love you, Daddy, even until the very end. Maybe one day you will again be my best friend. Love, Daddy's little girl, Newt. And that's because my dad and my dad's side of the family called me Newt. I'm sorry, guys. This has been hard, but I can't mask it because, again, there are so many me's out there. So I have to be real. I have to be raw. I have to be transparent. I have to be relatable. And this is hard. Like, this is really, 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 really hard. Just because I'm a minister and following Christ does not make this easy. Like, this is my parents, for God's sake. Like, the people who got me here. Physically, anyway. So, and if you don't know, if you couldn't tell by now, I was closer to my dad. So, this is different. Like, this is extremely different. Like, I'm the oldest on both sides anyway, but this is difficult. So, I love you, Daddy. And I pray that reconciliation and the repairing of the relationship will definitely take place. But if not, my love for you will never change. I just have to do what's best for me to release me and to finally be free. To my mom, and on behalf of all the daughters out there, this one is for us, guys. A mom is a daughter's first best friend, someone to depend on and share secrets with until the end. A mother's love is warm like her touch. What a daughter would give to be loved by her so much. A mother is someone to love, nurture, and care. Someone she can depend on to always be there. A mother is a doctor, therapist, and lawyer. Someone who fights for her like a warrior. A mother is a pillow to catch her daughter's tears. Someone always there to help her face her fears. A mother is always her daughter's advocate. Someone who stands for her and very passionate. A mother is someone who supports her daughter's dreams. Someone who invests in her no matter how hard or crazy it seems. A mother is someone who listens to her daughter no matter who does or doesn't. Someone she can always call on, and unfortunately you wasn't. I'm always racking my brain trying to understand why I could never always depend on you to hold my hand. Hold my hand through life's tragedies, hurt, and pain. To hold my hand and dance with me in the rain. The mother I needed you to be for me, you gave that to another, so you can't be mad that I was blessed with that from others. The cruel things you've said, the harsh things you've done, I couldn't take it anymore, and the pain felt the total opposite of fun. You constantly blame others for the pain you inflicted. How could your heart be so evil, just so wicked? Just the mere thought of my kids brings my heart so much joy. I could never intentionally hurt them and cause their heart to be destroyed. I could never turn my back on them, no matter how mad they make me. I could never make them feel that they couldn't be free. Free to live their life and be who God called them to be. To not live their life for them, but instead the life I wanted for me. Not to live in their truth and past mistakes. See your constant ridicule I can no longer take. I was never good enough for you and the life you portray. I didn't fit the image. So it was best to walk away. I didn't live up to your standards of who you thought I should be. But God called me. He chose me. And now I'm finally free. The version of you in my heart I wish wasn't true. Even though you're my mom, I really don't know you. I always wanted to, but you chose to give that away. I'm finally good on that, and this is where it will stay. See, healing is my portion, and it can be yours too. I chose to accept it, but can you? So it's time for me to be completely free. That little girl that I'm rescuing is me. It's time now, Mom, for you to do the same so you can stop causing your kids so much pain. I do love you, Mom. I honestly forgive you, and this is true. But it's time now. In my heart, I have to release you. Maybe one day things will genuinely change and unity and reconciliation will exist. Until then, memories I hold in my heart would just be something that I miss. Love always, your daughter. Oh, guys. Yeah, so as you can see, healing hurts. Or as you can hear, healing hurts. But I really wouldn't have it any other way. So if my pain and me healing is going to help others, then I'll humbly go through it. Especially for my kids. So I realize, like, they've always seen the strong side of their mom. Like, I really wouldn't break in front of them. I would just kind of, like, go behind closed doors or do it in the shower or when they sleep, practically suffocating myself in my pillow. But I'm like, you know what? No. Because me being weak in front of them is being strong. Me being vulnerable in front of them is being strong. Me showing them who their mother really is being strong. Like, that's me being strong. That's me showing them life. That's me showing them hurt. That's me showing them pain. But that's also them seeing God in me and in our life. That's also them seeing God's glory being revealed in my story. That's also them seeing God's hand upon me and my life and their life. So it's not about me. It never was about me. At the end of the day, it's really about God and what he called us to do and what he purposed us to do. And sometimes that means going against the grain. And I know I've been talked about. Do I care? I don't. Because I'm going against the grain. But breaking generational curses, I can't be a part of the grain. Because what am I breaking? It's not possible for me to break. And me and my mom, we did try to have some sort of relationship again, because as you guys know, my oldest daughter just graduated. So, but it wasn't working. I'm like, God, I'm trying and I can't, like, because it's so much. Now my job is to forgive her, because I can't walk around here harboring any unforgiveness or bitterness or anything like that in my heart. So it took a while. I'm not even gonna lie to y'all, it took a while. And for my dad too. But I had to. So that means I had to go through the process of forgiving them. Because I thought I forgave them, but in actuality, I didn't at that point in time. I was just so used to it that I became numb, that I knew how to suppress it, that it was down so deep. And I put it in the back of my mind that in my heart, I really thought I forgave them, but I didn't. God was just showing, like, no, you didn't. You just put it behind you. You brushed it under the rug. You masked it. And you masked it so well that you really thought you forgave them, but you didn't. And I was like, whoa, God. Okay. So the more that I walked through the process of forgiving them, it really showed me who I was. But it also showed me some of the hurt and the pain that I caused my kids, especially the unhealed version of me. So now I'm doing what I got to do to make it right. And it's not an easy process, but I still wouldn't have it no other way. So everyone may not agree. If you don't agree, again, take it up with God, because I'm following what he told me to do. Because again, this isn't about me. This isn't about my mom. This isn't about my dad. But this is about the assignment that's on my life. This is about my purpose. This is about my destiny. This is about the lives of others. Because someone somewhere, they are stuck. in their situation, someone somewhere, they're waiting on me. So until I'm free, that person can't be free, or them people can't be free. They're still stuck in their hurt, their pain, their trauma, their abuse, and everything else that they, you know, have went through and gone through. So as long as I'm doing what makes my family comfortable, someone is not being set free. And I can't have that blood on my hands. But again, ministry starts at home. So in order for my children to be free, their mother had to be free. In order for that little girl inside of me to be free, I got to do the necessary work to set her free. So God is the head of my life. He's the only master that I serve. He's the only master I follow. He's the only master that I listen to. And when he speaks, sometimes I'll be like, God, you want me to do what? I'm not doing that. Just like this season. And here we are. So I just learned to tell God, I'm like, God, well, I'm going to need you to help me. Because I already know if he said it, it's going to be it. So there's no point in even going back and forth with God. It's just not going to happen. And I don't want the blood on my hands. So again, this is part one of the release, because to release me, I have to release them. And release doesn't mean that it's a always permanent cut off. That's it. No more. But for right now, that's what it's going to be. And it has to be. And it's because it's bigger than me. And the main thing is the occult and the witchcraft, because the occultism is witchcraft, amongst some other things. But again, tune into part two and three, and then I'll follow up with a teaching, and that's going to be really good. I'm going to have some other people that's talking about their experiences with the occult, whether they are Freemason, whether they are in a sorority, whether they are in a fraternity. I'm not going to give too much details yet. You guys will just have to stay tuned. But I'm sorry, guys. I can't. It's just, I have to be obedient, because obedience is better than sacrifice. And when God revealed to me what I had to do, when I tell you that hurt, oh my gosh, especially, again, I mean, it's very obvious, you know, with my father. Not that I don't love my mom. I don't want people to think that, because that is not the case. It's just, I had some sort of a relationship with him that was at least a little more healthier than, because it still wasn't healthy. It still was toxic, but it wasn't as toxic. And their heart postures was in two different places. Their heart posture is still in two different places. So, I mean, I just got to call it like I see it. The sky blue is blue. I'm not going to tell you the sky yellow when I'm looking at it and it's blue. So, I mean, you just have to face truth, and that's just what it is. So, just, you guys continue to keep me in prayer, because I still have to deal outside of podcast. So when this airs off, I'm still dealing, but I don't hide my feelings and my emotions no more. Before, I used to be like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to get home so I can let this out. If me and my kids are driving down the street and I feel like releasing it, I'm releasing it. If I'm at work, I just go in the bathroom, because I'm not about to be, you know, whatever at work. But just continue to keep me in prayer. And again, to everyone out there, all the parents, listen, make it right with your kids. It's not fair to them that they have to carry this pain and this hurt and everything else, you know, like, you know, whatever relationship that you and your children have, and kill the pride. No one can kill the Leviathan but God anyway. But a lot of times the pride and the ego is in the way. And the in denial, and people not really wanting to face their truth. You don't have to live in your past, and you don't have to allow no one to make you live in your past. But you do have to face your past to deal with the present and move forward in the future. That's what it is. And whoever say the past is the past, and that's just that. No, you need healing. You do. Because you don't have to live in it to face it. I still have to go back, and even stuff that I've done when I was a teenager. I was a mom at 17, so I grew up with my children. It wasn't me growing up and then they came along. I grew up with them. So I did the best that I could with the hand that I was dealt and what I knew how to do. But parents, make it right. Children, you do not, even if you're an adult. So this isn't just for children as an age-wise, just being a child, period. You don't have to suppress how you feel because you don't want to hurt someone else's feelings. Don't sacrifice your pain and your truth for someone else, because you can still deal in a respectable way, because the Bible still says honor thy mother and father. So still doing what it is that God will have us to do. But parents, the word also says don't provoke your children to wrath. So this it goes both ways. But you no longer have to suppress how you feel. And reconciliation does not always mean the repair of a relationship. And if it comes down to it and God says you have to close off access, you got to do what you got to do. It's not easy. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say, oh, it's easy. All you got to do is this and it. It's not. I pray. I read my word. I cry. I do all those things. I give it to God, but it's still not easy. But I pray daily that God pour out his strength upon me, and that's how I'm able to make it through. If I did not have God on my side, I would not be able to make it through this, because it's hard with him being with me. So if he wasn't with me, I couldn't do it. I'm not even gonna lie to you. I could not do this in my own strength. I have to totally rely on God. Because again, this is by far the hardest thing I've ever done in my entire life. This is the hardest thing I've ever been through in my entire life. Extremely hard. But it's time now. It's time to live in your truth. It's time to be healed. It's time to be delivered. And it's time to be set free. Don't allow anyone to make you feel bad or feel guilty or like you did something wrong because you're deciding to heal. And however you need to heal for you, you heal for you. Just still make sure you respect and honor them in all that you do, no matter what. But no devil in hell can stop what God is doing in your life. No devil in hell. Don't allow not grandma, granddaddy, uncle, aunt, sister, brother, cousin, grandma, best friend, Pookie and Ray Ray that's best friends with your daddy. Nobody. Lakeisha that's best friends with your mama. Nobody. Because this is about you and breaking the generational curses that God have called you to break. He called you and he chose you because he knew that you were strong enough to do it. He knew that he could trust you with the assignment. He knew that you were faithful and could carry on the assignment. He knew that you wouldn't break. He knew that you wouldn't fold. Yes, you may have fall. Yes, you may take 15 steps back, but you get up. A just man falls 7 times, but he gets back up. So it's not going to be easy. It's not, but God called you and he chose you for a reason. If they could have done it, they would have done it. So don't let nobody tell you how to do what God called you to do. Don't let nobody tell you that you shouldn't do what God called you to do. Because if you knew that, you would have done it when God called you. So it got to be you and God. Tune out the outside voices. Don't allow familiar territory to keep you in a place and keep you stagnant. And keep them spirits to be reigning and operating in your bloodline. And now they're operating in your children's life. And now they got to fight this stuff that they didn't ask for. And it's not fair to them. And that's what helps to keep me going each and every day. But if you knew what to do, then you would have done it. So don't allow no one to tell you how to do what God called you to do. And don't allow anyone to keep you stagnant. Because obedience is better than sacrifice. So if God called you to do it, you better do it. Don't allow man to keep you in a place for their own selfish reason, ill motive, or whatever the case may be. When you know God is calling you. When you know God is sending you. Don't allow familiar territory and relationships to keep you in a place that no longer serves you or your purpose. And that cannot feed you or your purpose. So with that being said, that had to be God, because with that being said, guys, daddy's little girl and a mom is will be posted soon. I'm just trying to figure out if I want to do a mini video and just post it, but it will be posted if you guys want to go back and read, you know, like, share, whatever, send it to someone that you feel that they may need, you know, whether it be the child or even the parent. So that will be posted soon. I just give me some time to get through And again, the part two and part three of occultism will be uploaded very, very, very soon. So stay tuned. So I love you guys. Stay tuned for part two of the release as well. That one, I will say that part two of the release of The Little Girl Inside of Me, that will be live. That will be uploaded to YouTube as well visually. That one would not be just audio. It would be audio on all the podcast platforms like iHeartRadio, Spotify, Anchor, all of that. But you will be able to see it live on YouTube as well as on Facebook. So stay tuned for the part two of that. I'm still kind of working on that. That will come soon. But the occultism will go out before part three. So those are the things to look forward to unless God give me something else. But right now, we are about to close this season out. So thank you guys so much for your love, for your support, for your prayers, for your patience. You know, because it's not that I'm inconsistent, guys, this season. It's not at all. God just told me to pace myself. Don't focus on content, focus on healing. So when he said that, you know what, God, you're absolutely right. And I see why he told me to do that, because this is not easy. So I love you guys. Continue to keep me in prayer. Till next time, I love you guys. Continue to stay prayed up, stay covered, and I love you.